Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Thursday, the 11th of October. Very nice. I've been out for a couple days. Hey, what did I miss?
You missed a lot.
Oh, my goodness.
You look so rested.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, what happened?
Do you get the Yankees score in Ireland?
Yeah, I knew that was bad.
You knew
bad.
That one.
Actually, he got away from it all. That's why he's looking rested. He got away from the mayhem and chaos and lunacy.
So I was in Ireland for a couple of days and over the last week, and so all the Kavanaugh stuff's going on, and they're incredibly well informed, obviously, and have a lot to say, and generally seem to, being a very oppressed people, they seem very sad for us. It's kind of funny.
It's a great country, isn't it, Joe?
It is. It's a beautiful, amazing place filled with amazing people. And I went to Belfast, to Northern Ireland, and learned things about that place that I had no idea. And then went down all the way to the bottom of Waterford, and it was gorgeous. It was a beautiful, beautiful time.
And you know what, Joe? It's at the top of the news right now because the whole concept of Brexit revolves around those two countries.
Yeah, it's across the border fairly easily.
Well, you do, but everyone's saying, you know, this is what could happen if, you know, we have two separate places here now, and the general consensus seems to be that nobody wants it. The British don't want it. The Irish don't want it.
Don't want what? Two separate states.
And a wall and a border that would knock off those six counties to the north. So it's I don't know. It's fascinating, and it seems it was a weird time. But man, you know, you feel a palpable anger here amongst a lot of people and a resistance, and you feel a palpable anger there as well.
About Brexit.
Yeah, and of course bringing up old wounds. Of the British and
well, I mean, well, a lot so of Northern Irish feel occupied by Britain to this day. And now that if, in fact, the border is hardened between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, then that would quite likely stir up some really long-standing emotions about who the Irish are and self-determination questions.
Well, Professor, let me ask the professor a follow-up question, if I may, because you're the expert on the panel on comparative politics. So I want to, and you watch these countries. So what's the answer?
Well, the answer would be to number one, discuss more broadly about what alternatives there are to a hard Brexit, which the Conservatives and under Theresa May have pursued. And that's really not an option because the economic outlook for the UK would be disastrous.
Well, I'm sorry for interrupting, but it seems to me that the big issue here...
okay there, Pat, Judy?
Vera, is that the... this is the last really defining issue over these last negotiations, and we are hearing from the inner circles that they are very, very close. So if they're very close and this is the issue, how are they going to solve it?
So I have not heard that they're very close to negotiations. I'm not convinced because I don't think the European Union is thinking they're very close. So we'll see.
Well, I was listening to that very group, group of Brits called the BBC this morning, and they were reporting they were very close.
I mean, I was seeing was that they, somewhat to what both of you were saying, is that there are a lot of reports that they're in the last hurdles, although every time they get to them, they realize that there's 80 more hurdles.
Yeah.
One of my favorite comments, we had an amazing driver by this guy by the name of Peter Cooney.
Relation to the guy?
No, nice man and just a sweetheart. And he said, we were talking about some of the issues and the troubles and all of this. And he turned to us and he said, you know, I know everybody thinks of Ireland now as a big happy place where we just, we clog dance and drink. He said, but, there's a reason that we all immigrated to the United States. There's a reason that our population went from 8 million to 3 million people in a matter of 3 decades.
And the Republic of Ireland received enormous benefits by after having joined the European Union, so did the majority of the Northern Irish counties. They have risen in terms of the economic standing and their influence. Part of that experience was also under the Blair, under the Tony Blair administration to get their own parliament and so on. About a week ago, I would have bet on Theresa May getting a vote of no confidence from her own party. And then she gave that this one speech that apparently unified the party again. If it's that fast in terms of unification and unraveling, I'm absolutely not convinced that the Brits are that close to negotiating something that reasonably addresses the two key issues, namely, what about the Scottish population and what about the Northern Irish population who in the majority voted to stay in the European Union? Will they pursue independence referenda in the future? Issue number one on those two locations. Issue number two is what about controlling labor flows and immigration? Those are the two predominant issues over which there is a lot of disagreement.
And I heard this over and over and over again from both sides, from people who supported Brexit, from people who voted against it, that if the vote were held today, that it would go over, it would fail spectacularly.
You mean that Brexit would be they'd re-enter?
Yeah, I mean, there's some buyer's remorse there. Yeah. And then that's obviously extremely anecdotal, but.
But there are two reasons for that. Number one, young people stayed home because they didn't take this referendum seriously. They didn't think it would affect them or it would even remotely indicate support for Brexit. And number two was that misinformation was disseminated throughout the country on mostly related to healthcare, the national health system. It was promised that money that would be transferred from the British government to the European Union would instead be invested into the national healthcare, which turns out to be completely unreliable information and was used to mislead elderly voters into supporting Brexit.
I do have to say that when any tour I was in and any group I was in, it was made up of half Americans and half Germans.
Well, you know, the German, the British crown is on the bloodline half German, so you know that's a strong relationship.
And I hate to mention it, but during World War II, there was a certain affinity, between the Germans and the Irish.
Well, yes, I mean, there's sort of the joint enemy idea, but I mean, thankfully. We don't have that particular angle to.
So how was the food?
Well, let me introduce everybody, and we got to talk about a lockbox, and we'll get stuff here. And Ira Fussfeld is here. Thank you. I'll talk about the Guinness cake later. Ira Fussfeld is with us. He's a publisher emeritus of the Daily Freeman. Good morning, Ira. How are you? Good to see you. Vera Karyos Kelly is professor of comparative politics at Siena College in Loudonville, New York. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Our good friend Judy Patrick is here. She is VP of Editorial Development at the New York Press Association.
Good morning, Judy Patrick.
And, of course, Alan Shartok is here. Alan is here to tell us about the lockbox, an amazing challenge that we have on the table for this morning to get us to the $480,000 point, which is just $20,000 away from our goal, which we need to reach between now and Monday morning at 6 a.m.
And, Joe, when you said we need to reach it, you said a mouthful because this is where we all live. We're all making this station together. We always have. We need to get to the $480,000 mark, which is about what, $20,000 from where we are. Is that right, Joe?
Correct. Yes, sir.
And we have heard from Anonymous from Norfolk, Connecticut, that they will give us $2,500 if we can do it. Now, for those of you who are saying, foo, I don't care about $2,500.
Foo!
It's not like $25,000. Hey, you think about giving $2,500 in brand new, crisp $100 bills, which I went to the bank to get for another purpose. I can't explain that right now. But those $100 bills, they're quite something. But I digress. Okay, so what are you going to do about that, folks? $2,500 if we make it. They're setting an objective for us. We love it. The good people of Norfolk, Connecticut. We got to get to 480, and that gives us how much to go, Joe?
Well, that I will get up in a second here. I have to log back into all of these things I've not logged into for a full week. So
yeah. Remember your password.
Exactly.
And while you're vamping.
Well, I mean, we need right now. We need $19,000, and we haven't made anything yet.
Okay. The great thing about Joe. No, I'm not saying anything about Ray. I love Ray. He is the best guy in the whole world.
You love everybody today.
Let me just say, I love Ray because he took over the show for a week, and he's the absolute best. And thank you, Ray.
Except he is the absolute best, except for one thing.
Uh-oh.
He can't do what Joe can do. Joe has this big old computer in front of him, and he can tell you to the moment how much we need in order
That's not Ray's forte?
No. Ray and I are back in the other time. And let me tell you that Amber Sickles.
I bet he could learn.
Here he comes.
Oh, look at that.
No, I was going to say.
Our wonderful Amber Sickles would come running in 5-10 times a morning and say, this is where we're at. This is where we're at. Joe can tell you instantaneously. Where we're at, he could watch all those little machines as you're calling, and he probably can even tell us who you are.
But now the problem right now is that we haven't made any money, so that's
a problem. That's all right.
That's the issue. This thing that we have, this cool thing we have called the donator tracker donation tracker. You need the donations to actually track it.
So to make it go.
Yeah. Right. Well,
maybe we need to discuss a very interesting topic.
Yes,
to attract people to the show.
We will do that.
Wrong.
So let's.
Okay.
Wrong.
What we have to do is emphasize to our wonderful community, we're going to be talking about all those topics, Vera. You're exactly right. But right now, I need everybody who hasn't done anything to go and to do what's important. Now, the elephant sitting in the room. Is the fact
just
that
keep going.
The elephant sitting in the room is that the stock market fell by 800 points yesterday.
Right.
So we can't ignore it. But the one thing that we have always noticed as something, and we've had several fund drives where some bomb like that has dropped right before the fund drive, and you think, oh, we're going to die. But on the contrary, what has happened is people say, this time more than ever, I can afford to put $5 or $20 or in some cases $1,000 into it. Yesterday morning, we got $4,000 pledges, which was extraordinary.
Excellent. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I'm not sure my stock portfolio was deeply affected. My stock portfolio isn't as large as our president's. So.
Well, do you have the TIAA?
Yes.
Me too. Keeps telling me I'm broke.
It does not tell me that, and I keep
does it use those words like oh damn
my
you're
little
broke.
Pennies to it. So I think you're exaggerating.
194 people is what we need. We need $19,457. That's what we need, and we have an hour and 4 minutes to do it.
And that's not a lot of time. So please, everybody, you know, this is a time we really need you. If we can get it to where we only need $20,000, which will bring us to the $500,000 mark, it would be sensational. And it would be your help that put us over the top.
And
so it's 1-800-323-9262. Write it down. 1-800-323-9262. And 9262, in case you don't know, I think Dave Gillette invented this, is WAMC. So you get 1-800-323-WAMC, you see? So you don't even have to remember the 9262. You ever think about why they always repeat the telephone number when they're trying to hawk something over the telephone?
Not that we're hawking now, mind you. No.
No, we're not.
No.
We're eagling.
It's WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. All of this to get a $2,500 challenge from Connecticut, and we would love for you to, we need you to be a part of this. Let's do it. We have 1 hour and 2 minutes to do it in, so everybody in, take the deep dive, and we can do this. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org, and we have, you know, all the stuff that you, if you want the Capital Steps tickets, we have 50 of those left. We only have a few tickets left for the roundtable panel live. We only have a few of those left.
Mike Spain, Malcolm Nance, Judith Ank, Sarah Rogerson, Jen Smith, David Soares.
That's
we'll
it.
We'll all be there
so
for that.
So now, if you, that's all for $100 and $150 for a pair of tickets, $100 for a single ticket if you want to go see the Capitol Steps.
But the main thing, Joe, is it's yes, your sir. Station. You all know what WMC means to you. You know, get off the table, Mabel.
Now we just have. So I will tell you, Alan, that we are.
What's happening, Joe? What's
yeah,
happening?
So 19. So we need 192 people. We can get 192 people. 192 people for $100, and whatever you can do. If you can do $20 or $30 or $50 or $70 or $90, whatever you can do.
Want a piece of meat?
Yeah. If you want meat, fish, whatever you can have it.
I go. Vera's looking perplexed. It's a long, the hell thing where I always talk about going to a restaurant. The guy said, "What do you want? What do you want? You want a piece of meat? We'll give you a piece of meat. You want a piece of fish? Forgive
Meaning,
me.
If you want tickets to go see the Capitol Steps, you can go
see?
To the Capitol Steps.
Yes.
If you want to go to the round
translation.
Table. Now, the midterm elections are on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday morning, we're going to have the
not
the panel.
This Tuesday.
No. That'll be on the 7th, November 7th, correct? Yeah. Election day is on the 6th, right, Judy?
Yes.
Election day is on the 6th.
We think it's the first Tuesday of November.
Yes, thank you. So there you go. 1-800-323-9262. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk about the stock market. We will talk about Trump blaming the crazy feds on what has happened. And we'll talk about other stuff. But do what you can do in the meantime. 1-800-323-9262. We have operators standing by.
Lewis Aluminum.
And WAMC.org. Just go to WAMC.org and you can we can get your pledge in before we come back and talk about the news of the day. WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Judy Patrick, Vera Karius-Kelly, and Ira Fussfeld all here to discuss what's going on. We'll do it right after this. Listening to some beautiful music this morning, pianist Frank Weens playing Conkling Hall at the Cary Institute for Global Good in Rensselaerville, New York on October 13th. You can learn more at caryinstitute.org. So we'll be hearing beautiful music this morning, and that'll be our bumper music in and out. But you can find out more by going to caryinstitute.org, and that concert is on October 13th. Now, to answer the question and the promise that we will definitely be going back, but just so you know, we are $18,547 away from our goal. So that means that we've made almost $1,600, and we have a long way to go.
It ain't going
to
happen on its own. Please, everybody, just get there and do it.
All right. 1-800-323-9262. And you could also, of course, and go make a phone call. 1-800-323-9262 or WAMC.org. WAMC.org. Okay. Stocks plunging. The Dow just opened again, and their numbers are down. Stocks suffered their steepest drop in 8 months on Wednesday as rising interest rates gnawed at investors and as previously high-flying technology shares tumbled in the face of growing tensions with China. The Standard & Poor's 500 stock index fell 3.3%, registering its fifth consecutive daily decline. That's the longest string of down days for the S&P 500, the market's benchmark, since November 2016. The damage continued on Thursday in Asia, as we say, for those of us who live in the States. As markets in China, Japan, and Hong Kong fell about 3% in morning trading. The decline signaled a change in mood on Wall Street. For months, it had seemed as though nothing could spook stock investors in the United States. Now, consider them spooked.
So Donald Trump has been going around saying, braggart in chief, look at these markers, look at the stock market, look at how well we're doing, look at unemployment and all the rest. So now along comes the street and it says, we have a different view on this. And Donald Trump comes back and he says, it's the crazy guys at the Fed who are responsible, who are responsible for this. But you don't see the chest beating that you were seeing at his previous rallies. Look at the economy, because the economy, that's a lot of money, by the way. And if somebody happens to have a little bit of a pension that they've saved up, they're going to be crying this morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, like so many other things, for Trump to call the people at the Fed crazy or whatever language he uses, irresponsible on a number of levels.
I think he said crazy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll I can't speak for everybody in the room. It's very complicated. I don't presume to be an expert. I don't presume to understand fully how the Fed operates. But I do believe that historically the Fed is operating on behalf of this country and setting economic policy that's supposed to maintain the long-term health of this country. And historically, as far as I know, when the Fed raises interest rates, it impacts negatively on the stock market. But these things tend to be cyclical. Trump should just, I know he can't, but he should be keeping his mouth shut. And instead of blaming the feds, he might want to look at whether or not his policies that have led to a trade war with China are not a big factor in all of this.
Yeah, the Chinese thing is really
so
huge.
You know, but he just, as they say in the movies, he can't help himself.
So let me ask the China question, and I'll ask that to Vera, of what we should make of that and how they can withstand that as we're going through what we're going through.
Mm. Well, the Chinese government is investing domestically, strengthening its support systems because they're obviously committed to a long-term trade war now, because they're not the Chinese have been very nationalistic. They're very upset about Trump's perception of China and treatment of Chinese leadership. So overall, I think the Chinese government is heavily investing in technological warfare, hacking, espionage, as we just learned this morning as well. Through the arrest in Belgium of a Chinese official who was trying to get information about weapon systems from U.S. companies. I mean, there's this whole pattern that we see, and I think the Trump administration has pursued this long-term goal to challenge the Chinese and box them in and force them to behave differently. And I think the Chinese are committed to not losing that, because they're up and coming as a competitor in a new bipolar world that we will see.
So now the political science question for Alan, which is in 26 days, we're going to go to the ballot box. If the market continues, I'm saying it will. I don't know. I agree with Ira. I mean, who knows what's going to happen. But if we're down and things aren't looking good over the next 26 days, will that have an effect?
Oh, there's no doubt it'll have an effect. Obviously, it takes one of his bragging points away from Trump. Look, there are two groups in this country that I loosely put into two groups. One of them is the haves, and the other is the have-nots. And the haves are going to be threatened by this. Did he have to pick this fight with the Chinese? Now, look, the Chinese can be very bad actors. We know that. And we know that they do steal our intellectual property in this country, and that they carry on with that. But the fact is, and the United States, believe it or not, is still more powerful than China. But you can see what the reaction to all of this is. It's terrible in terms of the stock market and people who have money invested and companies which really do need to do business with the Chinese on all of this. So will it help him at the polls? I don't see how it helps him. I certainly see how it hurts him.
1-800-323-9262 to help the lockbox. We are,
how's it doing?
$17,000 away, exactly. $17,000 away from our goal. So we have a long way to go, but we are doing well, and we need you. 1-800-323-9262 or WAMC.org. $17,017.
And that's 170 people out of our 500,000 monthly listeners. So please think about this. Is this something you value? If it is, and I know it is because you stop me all the time to tell me that, just do something. Could be very little, could be a little bit more generous, but whatever it is, that's what we value.
1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262. That's for all the people who say we say it's too fast. And WAMC.org. We have letters. We'll go to those.
We do. Martina wrote, Jamal Khashoggi.
Yeah.
When are you going to discuss what happened to him? This is a frightening story, and Trump and the Saudis are saying nothing. Actually, Trump did say something.
Yeah, yesterday, finally. Yeah. I mean, I agree. Yeah. This is an incredibly important story, not only because it is a green card holding member of this society. He might be a Saudi citizen, but he held a green card. He's a permanent resident in the United States. And
a regular journalist,
a regular journalist for the Washington Post. And he has been threatened over and over again by the Saudi government. But now with this new prince, who obviously has sold a narrative about the reforming Saudi government, when in fact we find evidence after evidence now that he is perhaps one of the most cruel and repressive rulers Saudi Arabia has seen. President Trump likes him a lot. Pomp and circumstance is what he has embraced. Finally, yesterday, after so much pressure has been placed on the Trump administration, initially by the United Nations releasing a statement, by the Turkish government, our allies, in NATO, who have released video footage of Khashoggi entering the Saudi consulate in Nishantashi, is a location I know. Mm. I know where it's located. I know how many cameras are in this location. They've released information about 15 Saudi governmental officials entering Turkey just basically the day that Khashoggi was entering the Saudi embassy. There's no information about him leaving the embassy.
So that's a hit squad, is what you're saying?
It looks like a hit squad. We have all kinds of data. We don't know the details. It certainly does look like he was murdered or disappeared in the consulate.
Okay, so now, Judy and Ira, we've just come out mm-hmm. of the media project. And Judy and I, or Ira and or Ira, what did we say on the media project today?
We said, among other things, that Trump is not being loud enough in protestation of mm-hmm. what has apparently happened here. We said that although we could not directly lay this at Trump's feet, if in fact this man has been murdered, that the campaign that Trump has waged about the enemy of the people, the media, fake news, is a trend that is being accepted and used by autocrats around the world, and the atmosphere for this sort of thing was out there, and unless and until we get a more stronger and better explanation from Trump as to what he believes is going on, it just sort of sits out here, and it's a black mark.
And the Saudi government was so brazen in this. They're not really trying to cover their tracks, that they are sending a message to anyone who dare speak up against them that you better be quiet or you're going to end up like Mr. Khashoggi.
We are we're going to continue this, and we'll have more letters in just a second. We're going to take a quick break. We're $16,457 away
it's
from
moving.
Our
it's
goal.
Moving.
It is moving. 1-800-323-9262. We have about 45 minutes to do it in. We have $2,500 on the table, a challenge to get us to the $480,000 point, $20,000 away from our goal, which would be great. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. We'll be back with more letters and more conversation after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you all with us. Alan is here, Judy Patrick, Vera Karius-Kelly, and Ira Fussfeld. We are $16,402 our goal, $16,402. By the way, the music we heard was Frank Weens playing Conklin Hall at Carey Institute for Global Good in Rensselaerville. Our dear friends there, October 13th, you can find out more at careyinstitute.org. I said that, A, because I wanted to give them a plug, and B, because I mispronounced his name the first time. Okay, so but we got a challenge. It's a $2,500 challenge.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, and we need to do this. So do what you can. 1-800-323-9262.
I'm afraid.
All right, let's go back to letters, and we will move on.
Okay, hi panel. I'm an everyday listener. and just made my donation.
Thank you.
Vera is my brilliant former professor and just the best.
Alan, how nice. Emily,
yes,
so sweet
Alan,
of you.
Yes, Alan, you're my favorite.
Oh, no, he just wishes. He just wishes somebody had written that letter.
Somebody did write this letter. Thank you. Thank you, Vera Station, Emily, from her iPhone.
Wow. Okay. A lot going on that iPhone. All right. What
and
else
Judy and Ira, you're there too.
And the rest of the staff. Yes.
That's all.
So I just wanted to make one comment.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
Bob,
yes.
Senator Bob Corker has sent an inquiry to the Trump administration on the Khashoggi story because, you know, I think it's finally, you know, elements of the Senate are inquiring to see what kind of relationship we have with Saudi Arabia, and perhaps we might see some sanctions.
So President Trump is saying that U.S. investigators are, quote, over there looking into the journalist's disappearance.
Yeah, well.
It doesn't seem very strong.
Well, President Trump is very committed to those that he gets along, to those people he gets along with. And clearly, as Ira mentioned, I don't know if you mentioned it during
the
break.
No, I didn't. Saudi Arabia was his first state visit.
Yeah. Only 39 minutes.
39 minutes to investigate?
We should call Saudi Arabia. They've got pocket change for
okay.
That
April
16,
says, climate change again. Does it not offend anyone on your panel that politicians are literally lining up to issue statements about a tragic car accident in upstate New York, but few have issued any substantive statement on climate change? The consequences of climate change, even to us in protected, highly developed New York State, are potentially much, in capital letters, more severe than 20 deaths. Ray hosted a Vox Pop on climate change this week that may have been the most intelligent discourse that has happened in this country. Post-IPCC report, many thanks, and that's April in Medusa, where everybody thinks.
And we talked about the climate change and the media on the Media Project as well.
Yeah, we talked
about
it.
6 o'clock Sunday, 3 o'clock Monday.
Sorry, we talked about it during the Storm Florence as well,
right.
And the lack of regulation and simply rebuilding in the same locations, the same structure. So what both stories have in common, however, is the lack of enthusiasm for regulation on limits to misconduct and abuse of driver's licensing of these shuttle services, in addition to, you know, construction and money-making operations override environmental protections. I mean, in many ways, we have those parallels, and both situations are truly tragic and saddening.
And Chaz writes, first Tuesday after the first Monday in November is Election Day. That's all he has to write. You know, people get out there, you know, bitching is not acceptable. Voting is acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And Barbara says, lockbox fundraising. I understand you're promoting the lockbox fundraising before the traditional fundraiser. However, in my opinion, this week after week constant fundraising throughout, your regular program is worse than the original method of a few solid days, like 2 weeks. Alan just said that, a fundraising replacing regular program. I think you should consider donor fatigue. If listeners have already donated, they are sick of hearing it and probably regretting the donation. Thank you for listening. I'll have to check out that thing. Okay, so the question then is, Joe, we answer this by saying what? Almost $500,000 in about a week is discussed with the fundraising? Nope. It's incredible, and we are incredibly generous.
So easy for you to say.
Yes. I am so grateful to everybody who's put something in. Joe, you wanted to say something about that?
$15,769 to go. Not to rub it in to the letter writer, but we have $15,769 to go to make a $2,500 challenge, and we only have 37 minutes to do it.
And Joe, what's the rationale for doing it this way?
Well, the rationale for doing it this way is very simple, because we're taking a few minutes out of our program, and from what I can see, just this program in the morning, and it stands to reason that we have a lot of listeners, so we're going to ask you to support us, to help the lockbox, so that the total abdication of our programming, which happens during the fund drive, can be minimized to the point of a day and a half. So that's what we're trying to do. do. And
Yeah,
if you want it the other way, well, okay, but it's morning until night, and you're going to miss days and days and days of this program.
Right.
It seems to us that maybe taking a few minutes out every day for a week or so to remind you of the lockbox is better than losing an entire day where you lose Morning Edition and All Things Considered and Roundtable and Vox Pop and all of the programs. That just seems to make more sense.
Can I go back to the previous letter and mention that Friday is the last day to register to vote in New York? So if you're not registered to vote, you should get out there and vote. That's an important thing for every citizen to do.
And we are heard. What I was seeing last night was the numbers are up substantially.
Part of that is Taylor Swift.
Exactly.
Well, and young people, but states and counties across the country are seeing noticeable increases. So that's good news. Now you actually have to get them out to vote.
Yeah, and we're sorry if we have inconvenienced you with our fundraising so we can have this radio station. That's a term that I know Vera will be familiar with. There's always a place in the lumpen proletariat. Okay, you got a lump of road. So, Mike from Akron, at this point in Trump's administration, how many millions, if not hundreds of millions of tax dollars, have been spent on his nonstop campaigning? It's outrageous. Fiscal conservation is a pillar of the Conservative Party that has been obliterated and a pillar they can never claim again. Furthermore, it certainly seems these, quote, rallies are more to fill his ego than anything else. And Joel says, sustaining memberships. Please explain how sustaining memberships factor into a thrice yearly, I love the word thrice, it's a word my father used, thrice yearly fund drives, both at the lockbox level and then at the subsequent fund drive level. Over to you, Joel.
Well, I will tell you, it works out, it's a lengthy description. It is on our website. If you go to the website, WAMC.org, it explains, and just look up sustaining membership, it explains it and how it works. If you are a sustainer, you have done your part, and we thank you very, very much. Our goal is to get more sustainers. Right now, overall, in just in what we have done, just to give you an example of the people of sustainers, $28,581 of the $464,571 that we've made already has come for sustainers. So we need you. You're a vital part of it. So whatever you can do. If you want to find out more and you have a very detailed question, feel free to either email us or write us. But again, there's a really good description online. Going into it is a bit arcane and also a bit wonky. But I will tell you that if you have any questions about it, please call us. But if you've done anything and you're a sustainer, then you're guilt-free.
Okay. Alan says, Ray, I believe you once said there were 500,000 people listening to this radio station every month. I have indeed said that. If that's true, instead of asking for 20 people, 50 people to reach a certain goal, I believe the question is, if everyone that listens to this radio station gave $2, this fund drive, it would be over. Well, that's true, and I have said that many times. It just doesn't work that way. That amount of money is two cups of coffee at Cumberland Farms. I think just about everyone can afford that, and signs very carefully and respectfully, your friend Ray. But not that Ray, different Ray.
Yeah.
Okay. And Ed says, Kavanaugh shocked. The Kavanaugh nomination battle seems to have knocked the Kishkas out of the Democratic base. But I don't fully understand why. Rationally, there's no reason for this reaction. Prior to Dr. Blasey Ford's revelations, Kavanaugh was cruising to confirmation. And so in the end, he still got confirmed. Why is this so devastating to us? The numbers in the Senate were always there. Ladies and gentlemen, let me take the first crack at that one. It was a major battle. I think a lot of people became extremely invested in it. And I have talked to a lot of people who have said, I can't watch television anymore. I can't listen to the radio anymore. I'm so disgusted with the whole thing. So the premise of the question is exactly right, which is, how come? Mm-hmm. Well, I have seen some polling data and some other analysis that says it isn't. They're angry, they're disgusted, but they're going to vote.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue. We'll have more letters.
How much?
We will, right now, we have $15,429 to raise.
Oh boy, only half an hour.
We have between 9:50 and 10. We haven't done great. So
what's the number again?
The number to call?
Yeah.
1-800-323-9262, and it's WAMC.org. I just want to make a point about whatever you can do part of what we've been saying. the over just say the last hour, there's people that have given us $500. There's people that have given us $250. There's people who have given us $10. Whatever you can do, and really every amount in between that we see reflected $20, $50, $80. So whatever you can do, every dollar counts, and that's the point we want to bring home. 1-800-323-9262. We need exactly $15,100 right now. We have a half hour to do it in. We have $2,500 on the table as far as a challenge goes, and we can do this and bring the...
From Norfolk.
That's right, from Norfolk, Connecticut. So $480,000 would be where we would be at. And we would only have $20,000 to go, only. $20,000 to go to get to our goal before the fund drive. So a lot to do. Let's do it. We're going to take a break. We'll give you some time to do your part. And, of course, while you're doing it, listen to Ray Graff and do the news. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. It's very nice to have you with us, and we're good. Hopefully, you're good too. We're trying to raise some money here, and we're doing okay. We need to make our goal to get to the $480,000 point in our lockbox, which is $20,000 shy of our goal, which we need to meet by the time of the start of the fund drive on Monday morning at 6 o'clock. We are $13,499 away. Now, we have a $2,500 challenge from Norfolk, Connecticut, anonymous from Norfolk, Connecticut, on the table, $2,500 that we have on the table.
But wait, Joe, but wait.
Lisa
Waterhouse of Saratoga Springs, Lisa Waterhouse of Saratoga Springs, New York, says, listen, you guys, I want to help out. I'll put $1,000 more in. So now it's
$3,500.
Nice.
That's really terrific.
But only if.
But only
we
if
have
we make
20,
it. We
have 21 minutes. 21 minutes to do it in.
Yeah.
Alan's got to go at 10:30. So we have till 10:30. So 10. We have 21 minutes to do it in, and we need to make $13,459. Okay.
So the reason I got to go, by the way, is we have a congressional corner
yes,
today.
Yes. Oh, okay. We have a taping.
Okay. So, all right, everybody, this is where we live. This is where we live. I can't tell you anything else. Let's everybody do it because we are so close. What do we need? 13,000.
I'm going to get you a new number here because because the late returns are coming in from parts of Chicago.
Yeah, right.
$13,474. $13,474.
Okay, listen, 134 people, and we're whole, and we've made it, and we only have $20,000 to go until, and that we can do tomorrow, but we can't without your help now. So everybody, onto a phone, 1-800-323-9262. And again, I want to repeat something that Joe has taught me how to say years ago. 1-800-323-WAMC. So if you can't remember 1-800-323-9262, you can remember WAMC, 1-800-323-WAMC. Now, that for those of us who are visually challenged, it's not always so easy to look for the little W at the bottom and the A.
Well, and some phones didn't even have it these days.
Is that right,
Joe?
Yeah,
and then your cell phones. But you know what? I don't know
what?
If you're like me, Alan, and you're you, and I know you are. But you go out, and you talk to people, and the one thing that they tell you is, you know, I could sing that phone number. I know it better. I know it in my sleep. I don't know my own phone number, but I know 1-800-323-9262.
They do.
So it's lovely. So if you do know it, what the hell? Use it. 1-800-323-9262.
Now, when I was out there, our wonderful staff was telling me that the phones are ringing and that they're ringing over to other people. People in the news division are answering the phone and people in the other building are answering the phone. So it's great. But now we only have, what, Joe, to make it 29 minutes?
That's correct. So we have 13,000, same amount, unfortunately, but $13,474. So,
and now Lisa Waterhouse has put this extra $1,000 in, which will be great.
Correct. And whatever you can do. We have people doing $1 a day. $365 is great. Don't forget you can do it over time. You can pay it over time. We have people doing monthly, do a year, and they'll do $10 a month. We have that. Yep. This is all just like
or
the
you
last
could give
5 minutes.
Or you could give $3 a day. You know what $3 a day is? $1,000.
That's right. Well, the $365, you know, I mean, that's $1 a day. And you look at all that over a month, I mean, it's easy peasy. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC.
Yeah, sure. 1-800-323-9262.
Yeah, sure.
No,
sure.
No, no, no. We're going to do it. You want some letters?
Yeah, yes, give me some letters.
Okay. Please.
Chris says, why is it that economists are quick with explanations after the stock market fall, but never issue a word of warning beforehand? And that's from Christopher. But here's the thing. He is, listen to this, director of bioinformatics program at the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. Now, the fact of the matter is I've been listening quite clearly because I, you know, I don't want to die poor. So I've been asking, or poorer, and I've been asking people I'm listening to the television, and they've had a lot of economists on who say it's coming.
Our own Aaron Pasitti has been talking about this, is that this is something we obviously have to be deeply concerned about.
Right, a lot of columnists who print newspapers have been talking about this. This is a bubble that's going to burst, that we're borrowing too much money, that the Fed has to raise those interest rates. This has not been a subject that's been ignored.
Okay, so greetings from Austin, Texas, says Pat from Poughkeepsie. Recently moved here from Poughkeepsie, New York, to Austin because I'm lost without the round table. I brought WAMC with me. Thank you all, in quotes, for keeping me informed, updated, and a much-needed sense of humor. Alan, I made my donation to the Lockbox, and as always, the fund drive will be a great success. You're the best radio station on the air. Libby, thanks for the reminder. I've already registered to vote. And when do you have to register by Friday?
Oh, it was Judy.
Friday.
Yeah, Judy reminding us.
This Friday in New York State. Right. Every state has different deadlines.
Your state may vary.
Yeah. Libby, thanks for the reminder. Thank you again. Please keep up the good work. And that is from our friend Pat, formerly from Poughkeepsie, but now in Austin. And by the way, I love Austin.
It's a nice place.
We're in the 12,000s.
Oh, boy.
Good.
And Tom says, every little bit helps and then some. Hi, fine panel. And welcome back, Joe. I just put my small bit in the lockbox for today. More to come. What an honor it is to be part of the greatness. Thanks for this privilege. Let us not forget the power of the tower. We did that all together. We can certainly do this together. Remember that, guys? We made $1 million in the fund drive and $1 million more for the tower at the same time. And
what a great letter.
We did it like in 2 days. Mm-hmm. So that's a great
way. We should make that into a pillow or something.
Yeah,
or
a song.
Yeah.
Ryan says, panel.
Yes.
It is irresponsible for all of us, presidents, pundits, journalists, all people on our couches, to talk about daily or even monthly or quarterly fluctuations of the stock market. Trends cannot be seen by a single day or week or month or year on the markets. And then it goes on. I'm not going to read it all. I am so sorry, Ryan, but it's a little long. But I can tell you this much, and that is that a lot of people suffered from the last depression in the stock market, and they suffered for years. And if they were about to retire, they really got hurt. Right? Am I wrong?
Well, right. But one of his points is that the majority of Americans aren't invested in the stock market. And I know people with IRAs or 403Bs have this money, and they are concerned. Now, the question is, will the average voter be concerned about the stock market drop if it is sustained? That's the thing we'll be watching over the next couple of weeks.
You're absolutely right, Judy. Joe, how much?
$12,694.
Okay. Frank says, in the mob, I'm concerned the fact that Trump is going around the country, actually only red states, doing rallies and accusing Dems of being a mob. You notice the people who are in there yelling and screaming and lock her up and all that?
Well, it's outrageous.
The Times has a great article on this today about this, that, you know, they're talking about the Dems and the Democrats, excuse me, and yet this is the what is going on at these rallies, and you know I have to say that as in split screen, even Fox News, I think, made a good choice last night that instead of running the rally as they were going to do, instead covered the widespread hurricane damage, even thinking that it was a bad form to have a president out doing a rally as much of the country.
And is the Tea Party, and were the Tea Party rallies, were they not mobs? Were the people who protest outside of abortion clinics, were they not mobs? Were the people at the Trump rallies who were threatening journalists not mobs? Was the guy who got punched out at a Trump rally, was he not punched out by a member of a mob? I mean, this is such an outrageous hypocrisy on the part of Trump.
Okay, thanks, Frank. Here we go. Hurry up, everybody. We need to make this $3,500 on the table right now, thanks to Lisa, who just raised the ante. If you can help, anything will do.
125 people. We need 125 people.
Okay.
So in other words, $12,500.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We can do that. We have 13 minutes.
16 minutes,
to
minutes
do it.
Let's say.
Let's go. Okay. And Suzanne says, Jared Kushner made it a point to woo the new Saudi prince, and there are several stories around about with his friendship with the guy. As it is common with Ivanka and Jared, business deals, loans are said to have been made. And Laura.
So on that, yeah. I wanted to say Kushner obviously has no influence on the Saudi government. All they do is they read signals from the Trump administration. And, you know, the Saudi prince will sit down with people like Kushner and have an elegant meal. But in fact, they couldn't care less about the political agenda related to peace in the Middle East. What they're interested in is economic success and a strong relationship with the United States. In fact, we should also be worried that Turkey will not pressure the Saudis much further because Turkey is experiencing an economic crisis and they need so-called green money or money from the Saudis to potentially stabilize their economy. So the West, Western Europe, and the United States really must push on investigating this Jamal Khashoggi case, or the signals will go out to all strongmen and dictators in this world that it is perfectly fine to abduct and assassinate journalists. Yeah. We know this pattern already exists with the Russian President Putin, who's been carrying out and you know, leading to those kinds of assassinations.
12 minutes to go. 12 minutes to go. The Prince of Saudi Arabia, says Lorelei, is an evil murderer. He's outdone Putin in the brazen disappearance of this critic, not to mention the genocide in Yemen and his pretense of improving conditions for women. Trump will do the minimum to help the investigation. Does anyone think of the relationship between Saudi Arabia and Jared Kushner? And Geraldine says, I understand that the White House is looking to limit access to the White House sidewalk and the National Mall for public demonstrations and protest new regulations. The public comment period ended October 15th. I have not heard of this previously. What are your thoughts? My thought is it's terrible. It's really antithetical to what we do here in the United States. Tracy says, commercial driver wages. After a tragic accident like the one in Schoharie, we turn our attention to the person behind the wheel. Currently, driver's wages start at $12 or $13 an hour, very low for what should be a professional, well-trained, experienced position. Hire good people, train them well, and pay them well so that they stay. And good morning, guys, says Crystal. I'm glad we're getting the pledges out there. We are getting closer. Even if Khashoggi is found out to be murdered, Saudi Arabia will still be our number one customer for weapons. They will never be accountable.
Well, I think that might be, sadly, part of the reality.
You know, it wasn't that long ago that the Saudi prince was in America and was given the royal treatment. So you saw very positive articles and TV programs.
Well, remember
about
him. When Trump went to Saudi Arabia, he was dazzled by the fact that they put his image on the hotel wall and they gave him a globe and it looked like it was right out of a science fiction movie. But it was all baubles and bells.
And let's remember the horrendous human suffering in Yemen. Sponsored by both British American military, adventures through the Saudis that carry out the bombings.
Where are we, Joe? Where are we?
We have $11,519.
Come on, everybody. Let's go. We can do this. We know we have 10 minutes to do it.
I have 10 minutes.
Let's go. Everybody on a phone, please, 1-800-323-9262. We won't do it without you. We can't do it without you. You've got $1,000. That would be great right now. $3 a day. Is it worth it? Can you do it on time? Of course. Can you become a sustaining member? Of course. 1-800-323-9262 or go to WAMC.org. Follow the prompts. By the way, everybody, every penny will count. Every penny will count. If the telephone is up, it's going to count. Okay, a big thank you to Linda, voting in Florida. Good morning, panel. My sister and her family of four who live in Florida have always been apathetic about politics and voting, saying it doesn't matter. I decided to call her last night and have a talk about how especially important it is this year. And to my surprise and delight, they're all fired up this year and going to the polls. I'm much more hopeful this morning. And that's from Linda. And then Guy says, amid all the chaos of the recent weeks, what about what is happening to the U.S. census dispute? I'm afraid this is not as well known as it should be. Please discuss. Teresa Bourgeois to return and Rosemary Amaro. Stop interrupting the fun drive with frivolous chit-chat. Laughing out loud.
So is this the citizenship question issue with the census?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about extensively and we'll continue to,
of course,
obviously.
We have.
But all right, so $11,519. We have about 7.5 minutes.
You can be one of the 15 people. Get on the phone. Do anything you can. If you've got $1,000, that would be great. 1-800-323-9262. Joe.
1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. Don't forget, we have $3,500 on the table that we lose if we don't make this. So let's make it. It's as simple as that. 1-800-323-9262. So one other story that I wanted to get to, we've talked about a lot of things this morning, but I did want to get to the Michael Bloomberg story. Not a huge surprise here, but after hints of a presidential run, Mike Bloomberg made it official yesterday, not official that he's running for president, but official that he is now a Democrat. That, I would think, gives us some sign, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it gives a sign that he's 76 years old, and if he's going to be president, this is the last shot, probably, that he is going
Maybe
to have.
He'd be 78 if he ran.
He'd be 78 when he runs. If I ran for president, so I would be, you know, like 79.
Is this a formal announcement?
Yes.
No.
So my comment on that is mostly what's interesting about what Bloomberg was saying is that he believes that it is high time to strengthen the influence of the Democrats in this country as a counterweight to the overpowering control of the Republicans.
Yep.
And I think in that sense, he's right. He's calling attention to it. He's putting some money behind that, and that I do appreciate. I think he's not the right person, obviously, to ever run for president in this country.
Well, let's put it this way. I think he's a very good man. I think he makes a lot. He's made mistakes in his past, and those mistakes will get brought up. But I do think he's a good guy. And he's tried to do the right thing on sugar and this and that and the other things.
Well, I mean, on the climate and guns.
Climate.
And
yeah, I mean, he spent a lot of money. Behind his issues.
I like him overall, yeah. but he is viewed by many in a way as an authoritarian figure. And also, he, as you recall, pushed through the addition of the elimination of term limits so he could get a third term.
Yeah, I'll never forget that.
That hit people the wrong way. I think the advantage of him being a Democrat is he's got very deep pockets and he can contribute behind the scenes to the cause. But the Democrats need somebody younger and somebody who's going to light a fire under people, much like Obama did.
Well, right now I'm willing to vote. I would be willing to vote for Bloomberg. I'll be honest.
If he used the choice versus Trump, there's a no-brainer.
Well, yes, and compared to other people who might run. Anyway, 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262. We only have 5 minutes to go.
And $9,500 in five minutes.
Boy.
We can do it. We've done it before. We can do it again.
We can. If everybody just gets going Everything that you put on the table will count. So in other words, if you're worrying that you'll be on the phone and your vote won't count, no, it will. 1-800-323-9262, but we need you now. We need everybody. Operators are standing by.
Hasn't the board of which I'm a member given you the authority to stop the clock?
Yes, they could, but I'm not going to be here because I'm going to be in the next
He has a gig doing the congressional corner, which I need for the program tomorrow.
You can be deputized.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
let it go. All right.
With Bloomberg, it's hard to even understand why he registered as Republican. I know it was just a political, but he doesn't have any really strong Republican stance.
Well, here's the problem, Judy. I think the guy has always wanted to be president. He was a good mayor. I think he's always wanted to be president. I think that explains it. He thought that he was looking at how you do it, and that the one way to do it at that time was to be a Republican.
That doesn't make him very popular among, voters in general. If I see people shifting from one area, one extreme to the other, I'm sorry, but that does not work for me. I don't think it's appealing to a lot of younger voters. They would simply sit home if somebody like Bloomberg ran.
I don't know.
But remember that Donald Trump at one point was a Democrat.
Bloomberg did speak at the Democratic convention.
And Kevin says, good man or not, this country doesn't need another old white guy in office that the younger generation in this country can't relate to. That's your point, I think.
That's my point. Yeah. I mean, my students would simply be like, what? Why that guy? How about somebody a little more in tune with what some of the up-and-coming agenda items are?
3 minutes, 3 minutes, 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262. I'm going to have to go into that other studio.
$8,800 is what we need, $8,879.
Okay, good. Somebody will say, I'll give you $8,800. But no, whatever you can do, do it now. Don't sit still. We need the money. Let's go. Let's make it.
1-800-323-9262. It's still possible. We can do this. We can do this. And as Alan said, everything on the table counts. Will the dust settle there? 1-800-323-9262. WAMC.org. You can do it online. You can do it. We have folks, the staff members all over the buildings here that are taking pledges at their desks. So if it goes to the front office and they're busy, then they send it to somebody who has a pledge form in front of them, and off they go.
And it says here, Joe, Lisa, who's putting up this last $1,000 on top of the $2,500.
Which should be $3,500 total.
That's right. Donated to the lockbox early on, but heard that we were almost finished and wanted to help with an additional challenge. Now, that's really nice.
That is where we're at, right? I mean, that's what we need. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. So we have to go here in just less than a minute, but just a reminder that everything counts. Please do what you can. Help us get this $8,000 that will get us the $3,500. We'll give you an update and when we come back from a break. Gives me time to thank Ira and Vera and Judy. Thank you very much. Alan, as always, thank you very much. We'll see. I know... we'll see how it goes, and then tomorrow, hopefully, we can make it and make the goal and be ready for Monday morning.
Boy, it's close, getting close.
All right, you are needed, sir. So I will. You are excused. You're all excused. Actually, we're going to take a break. we'll be back with more. But keep pledging. WAMC.org. WAMC.org. 1-800-323-9262. We'll be back right after this short break.